Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Cause I know
Good evening and welcome to Stomp Rack. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome everyone to the program. We just want to take some time to pray and commit this time onto the Lord. And commit yourselves, your hearts, your minds, everything to this time. Father my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. There is none as holy as thee. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you that in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We thank you, Father my God, that you woke us up, O Lord, and that you've seen us through to this time and this day. We thank you that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you that, Father my God, we commit this time into your hands. We ask that, Lord Jesus, you will take full control. Teach us that which we need to learn and help us to grow in you. Father my God, help us to learn, O Lord, the new ways that you are moving and grow in you. Lord, we just commit this time into your hands and we ask for you to have your way. Have your way, Lord, have your way. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and welcome to the program. This is a new day. This is a new time. We're in 2026. We're already in June. Want to thank God for the fact that we're already in June. Want to thank God that he's seen us through January. He's seen us through February. He's seen us through March, April, May, and we're now in June. It just seems like the other day that we went Happy New Year and now we're in June. You're half the year already. We want to thank God that we have reached to see June. And God helping us, we will see right through to December in the name of Jesus. We're going to be looking at it doesn't have a particular title, but maybe you could call it love. What God is talking about when he says about love, okay? Because, you know, it says in the word that, you know, if we don't have love, we're like a clanging bell, just making noise. Even when Jesus was saying there was a lot of things, but he asked us to love one another. And there's different types of love, and we need to use the right love for the appropriate love, type of love for the right person. I'm going to look at Ephesians. Okay. This is said and used quite many times. Ephesians 5 from 21. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, because of we respect Christ, because we honor Christ, we submit to one another. Okay? And then it goes on to tell us what that should look like. So it's not everyone that you submit to, but it's talking about that we should do because we love Christ. So it then goes to be some specifics. You wives will submit to your husbands. Now, another version I read said you wives should submit to their own husbands. So there might be many men in a room that are husbands because they're married, but it's being specific to your own husband. So it's not about submitting to every husband, but to submit to your husband, to submit to your own husband as you do to the Lord. So as you would respect, as you would have that reverence for Jesus, we've got to do it for our own husband. And it gives us details of, you could say, the positioning of, or why. For a husband is a head, is the head of his wife, so not every wife, his own wife, as Christ is the head of his body. So as Christ is to be to the church, as Christ is to the church, as Christ is with the body of Christ, you know, that is how a husband is supposed to be to his own wife. Now, there's a lot in that. Christ was very sacrificial, and it cost him everything that he did for us, the church, you know, for us as individuals. There was a price. The ultimate price was death on the cross and going through that process of going to get the keys of hell, that process. But it is saying that that type of love that Jesus demonstrated, a husband is to demonstrate to his own wife. So there's a price with that. So it's not about just being the head, but as doing it as Christ. So it goes on, he gave his life to be her savior, a deliverer, to be the one that rescues. It says, as the church submits to Christ, so as Christ is the head, and we've looked at what that entails, that's how a husband should be. And then it goes on to, as church submits to Christ, as a church should do what Jesus wants. Knowing, because Jesus has an overview that the church doesn't, may not be privy to, and for so many reasons. So wives must submit to your husbands in everything. So it's not partial submission. It's not submission in this area, but that one, I do my own thing. But in everything. And, you know, what we need to do, it did say that we need to submit. Submit to one another. So, it's consider. I want us to look at consider. I want us to look at coming under the authority and knowing that somebody else's opinion matters in the situation. It's not just about how you feel, but what that other person feels. It's not only about what you say, but what that other person says. that is, and so much more we need to look at. So it says, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. So it's not just in this area, but not in this area, no. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. So the same depth of love Christ showed, that is what husbands are to show. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. So there was a purpose in everything that Jesus did. So there needs to be a purpose in what we do for each other. So not only do husbands give up their life as it were, but remember, it started with submit to one another. So that is how we are to be in that attitude and behavior to each other in a relationship, in as husband and wife. It needs to be that way. And okay, because we're in human nature comes in, you know, it's not so easy to give up your will to do that. And if we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed that he found it difficult as well. So when we struggle with giving up our will, we need to know that, well, Jesus understands, and we ask the Lord to help us and show us what we need to do. Now, I like that it said the same love Christ showed the church. Okay, and it gives an example and why. The purpose of it, holy, to make her holy and clean. So the purpose of things that we need to do is so important. Why are we doing what we're doing for our spouse? Why are we doing it? It's for their betterment, for their help, for their need. And it goes on to washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. So he went through all that for you and me so that he could present us, the church, to himself. So at that time, you know, he went through all that process so that we can be presented, so we can be brought before without guilt. We can be brought before the Lord without guilt. We can go before God without that guilt. Remember, in the Old Testament, there was a lot, you know, there was a guilt sacrifice, forgiveness sacrifice. There's so many kind of sacrifices that were required. But Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice so that we can come under and submit under that, and that makes a difference. So it is the same. When we submit to each other, we come under each other, we are then covered. As a couple, you can then be covered. So when you don't feel particularly strong, when you feel in a relationship maybe battered by the world, in a relationship, you know, whatever is going on, the idea is we've got to cover each other, protect each other, shelter, you know, cover each other, not cover for each other, because that can imply that somebody's done wrong, but cover each other, not expose somebody else's weakness, it's your spouse's weakness, but protect them, you know, because we all are vulnerable. Protect, watch over. You know, for want of a better word, of cover, I'm looking, but have that in our minds. as well. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Okay. It even goes on into Ephesians 6 about children and parents. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That obedience, that submission. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father. Respect your father and mother. Have a reverence for your father and mother. You know, that respect where you know well, they must know. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live long, full of blessings. So that honor, that love, that respect, that is what must be shown for each other. So the submitting to come under authority, to listen to each other, is what you do when you love someone. You listen to them, pay attention, you almost like read their body language, say, are they upset, are they struggling, what is going on? And that shows that love you for each other. The same way with parents and children. You know, it says it's the one of the Ten Commandments, and it comes with a promise, so you will live long. Wow. Now, if we look at Proverbs 18, and all this is type, you don't honor someone you don't love, you know. And, you know, sometimes we can only think of the romantic love, but there's the love, there is like a respect, you know. Proverbs 18. From verse 21. Those who love or talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. So depending on where you're standing, what you say, remember the scripture that said there's life and death in the tongue, those who love it eat its fruit. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences. So, you know, sometimes we can talk more than ourselves. Sometimes we can talk life or into a situation, into someone. And that means something positive, something nourishing, a word of encouragement. Or we can speak death. We should bring that person down. Will make them, you know, defeat them, make them feel less than they are. So, and it says, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. So we have to choose what our tongue is going to speak over ourselves, over our spouses, over our children, over our family, over our self situation. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord. Another version says, he who finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. So there's something that comes from that. There's something. Now if we look at Genesis, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. It is not good. So the idea is to get into the good. But another scripture says that can two walk together unless they agree. So it's not just about being occupying the same space. It's that submitting to one another, that respect, that love, and knowing that there is like something that comes from it, because you know, it's it's followed through, as it were. If you submit, there's something. Now, it's very hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's very hard because you want to be right. You feel you're right. You don't want, part of you may not want to hear what the other person has said. But if we approach it like, if I submit what is in my mind to God, and that means you can just think, right, what if this person has a perspective that I'm not privy to? And you want to get their perspective. You want to get their idea. You want to get what they have to say about the situation. What they have to say. It doesn't mean that you have to weigh up what you hear. But you get a different angle. So it then gives you a broader perspective. Broader idea than where you are located, as it were. So I want us to look. This is how you can find a good thing. This is how you can receive favor. If you have someone else giving you a different perspective on a topic or your life or something else, then you just being in your own thoughts, you're getting an input which does add favor, which does give you something different to perceive. And it does greatly help, because sometimes you can get locked into your own thoughts. So the favor might not necessarily be the way you perceive, but it's favor, or it's an addition, it's a gift, it's something that's added. So we need to have a that in mind, and we have to ask ourselves, do we value or understand what we have? Do we understand the favor and the depth of it? Sometimes we don't value what we have, you know, or we take it for granted, you know, we take it for granted. So I'll give an example. There was one stage I had a car and it broke down, completely broke down. It had to be scrapped, completely broke down. It wasn't just a few days at the mechanic. The mechanic opened the bonnet and closed it and say it needs to be scrapped. I thought, wow. Not even, he said no, not repair, this needs to be scrapped. So I thought, wow. It was, you know, it came right out of the blue. Something broke and I didn't realize what it was. Anyway, it was like, wow, this is something else. But you know, sometimes you get used to having a car, but I had to take the bus, which is not a bad thing, but I so underestimated the length of time it would take me to get places. And I used to go to people's houses to do lessons. So I was working outside of town. I had to take a bus into town, which took longer than I anticipated. And then I had to find the bus that would take me to a place. And I found a bus. And that one bus was going round, literally round the houses, literally. Fortunately, it stopped near the people's house. But, you know, I suddenly realized this car is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And I thought, wow, how I underestimated having a car. And the advantage that it gave. And I use that as an example. And sometimes we can underestimate the value of our spouse and the favor that they are adding, that if it wasn't there, what we would lose, miss out, because we're so used to it. That's a point, you get so used to it, you don't ever consider life without it, but you don't realize what it's added, because the addition is never instant, is over time as you grow. So there was a lot that I learned in that process of not having a car. I had to do so many things so differently because of that, and I had to think about so many things in so many different ways. So I want us to consider that the favor that we have in having a spouse, in having even having a friendship, and it's not a different type. I know it's not covered by scripture, but there's some friends that are so close that they are like related, you know, you've been through a lot together. There's a fame, there's something that you is added because, you know, they add to your life, you add to their life, and it's a different type of adding and love than in a spouse, different type of adding and love than in your parent and child. But to know there is an adding and an addition, a favor from knowing that person. We're gonna have a break, and after the we'll be back after the break to continue this topic. Back after the break.
In Christ alone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We'll be still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. So, we were looking at Proverbs, and then we went on to Ephesians. The questions I asked that we should ask ourselves, do we value and understand what we have? Do we understand the favor and the depth of it? Or is it a verse that we see and read and leave it as that? I want you to reflect, what is favor? What role does it play in our lives? And how can we use it to tap into all that God has in store for us? So what favor is available to us, and how can we tap into it? Now, sometimes we're tapping into it, but like I said regarding the car, we don't even realize we're tapping into it, you know. So, like I said with the car, I didn't realize how much benefit I was getting with the car until that car was no more. And it was like, wow. I had to really rearrange my life inside, and there were some things I just couldn't do again. I just couldn't do again. So, I do have a car now, but there's almost a different value probably I place on the car, because I've experienced not having a car, and realizing that I really do rely heavily on that car. So we looked at relationship between husband and wife, your spouse. We looked at even children, that love and that relationship. And it's not something that we want to imagine, but if we don't value, we're not going to be able to tap into that favor, you know. I value my children. I value that, well, okay, when they've set up their own lives, you know, it's a case of, well, okay, there's some things I'm going to have to do myself, but there's other things that they're going to be able to help me do. Help and support, and this is the favor. And so even in a relationship, favor that God has there changes, I think, depending on where we're at. You know, when the children were younger, it was like, wow, cute, oh wow, cute, put them in the cute outfits. Oh, wow. Big eyes. You know, the older one had such big eyes, and I feel that eyelashes, he was all eyelashes. You know, could get away with a lot of stuff to think about it. But it was really lovely. And as he grew, and now a lot taller than myself, there's a different favor and a different position and a different thing to tap into. So same thing with the younger one. There's different things. And it's the relationship. You can say the dynamics of it has changed. The dynamics between myself and Pastor has changed as we've grown in our marriage. There's certain things I don't even bother stressing myself about. I just ask Pastor, can you do that? Because that is a favor that's added. And there's some things I just ask him to do because of the favor. And so we need to recognize the favor and that love that God has placed in the people in our lives and around us. And by God's grace, we don't take it for granted. You know, we don't take advantage of it. So let's look at it differently. Not to put the producer on the spot, but the producer has been producing this program for, I can't even remember how many years, it's been so long. And we've got to the point that I do not choose the songs for, it's just like, you know what to choose, you know what to choose. But when he wasn't available, I had to start thinking of songs. I'm there thinking, you know, and the other person, they were good. They were really good, really nice. And did, but what songs do you want? He was like, really, I need to think of the songs. Yeah, really? And, you know, I thought, wow, okay. Though the other person was good, I had to work. You could say work harder. I had to think of something that I'd gotten used to with the standard producer of not doing. You know, so I had the standard producer today. The regular one came in. I sighed relief. Oh, wow, how nice to meet you. I thought, so what songs? Oh, yeah, just wave my hand. You know what to pick. And so I'm just using that even in context of that, you could say that respect, that understanding, that insight, that favor that is added. So yes, there's a favor that's added in a husband and wife, but I want us to look at it. There's a favor added once we build relationships with our children, build relationships with people around us, because we then have like an extended family beyond our family, if that makes sense. I hope it makes sense. So we're going to come, I'm watching the time. I think I'm still okay for time. Okay, I've been told I have 10 more minutes. I want us to look at Genesis 2 verse 24. And we're coming back to marriage. Tell you, I started looking at 24 verse 2. It's okay, 2 verse 24. I'm going to 23. At last, Adam exclaimed, "She's part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she's taken out of man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt any shame. And it's not that naked. Yeah, physical naked, but there's a vulnerability. look at it in the way there's a vulnerability. Look at it like being vulnerable with someone, your spouse, and not feeling any shame because of that vulnerability. Look at it that there are some friendships, relationships that sisters be, friends that are beyond friends, is like sisters that have been vulnerable over the years. These are relationships I've had before children, before marriage, from secondary school, and been vulnerable. We've seen ourselves through so much that it's, but there's no shame. There's no shame that you cried. There's no shame that even you can have that connection and that with someone, maybe in your workplace, someone in, and it's not, even though I'm just trying to explain this in different ways, I'm not saying, because this is referring to Adam and his wife, but I want us to see that people, God has placed people in our lives for different purposes, and if we invest in those, then that favor, that which they're there to add to us, we're going to receive of it. And I want us to pray that God will really help us, because if we don't take advantage or we don't show that type of love, you know, because it said in Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence. If we treat everyone as we would treat, you know, because of Christ, that which we God wants us to get out of that relationship, if we don't do that because of Christ, we're not going to get out of it. So I know there's been a lot going on, but I want us to just to ask God to help, okay? Because there's a lot of help, but we need to ask God to direct us for the help. Father, my God, we thank you, we praise you for this time. That which is for us from this session, Lord, help us to receive. Father, my God, that which is not for us, help us to leave. Father, my God, help us to grow in that love that we're supposed to have for each other. Help spouses, relationships, husband and wife's relationship grow, so that the favor that you've designed to come out of that relationship will be their portion in the name of Jesus. Father, my God, as you said, children to obey, to honor, help children to obey, to honor their parents, you know, and so that that which is to be brought out for both parties from that relationship will be brought out. Help your love to find expression in our hearts, in our lives, and to be shed abroad, Father my God, so that more and more will know about you. Father my God, we give you all the glory for all that you've done, that you're doing. We give you all the glory, and we lean into you for all our requirements. Father my God, you know what's on the hearts of everyone. Father my God, we ask that you would answer the cries of your people. Take full control. Take full control. That which you started, Lord, help people and take them to completion. King of kings, Lord of lords, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to hold on, just to hold on to that which you're in your process. Hold on and just keep, you know, that love of Christ. Let it be shed abroad. Let that love of Christ be radiating out from you and through you. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now.
That's why you brought us out here tonight, God. It's in the fullness of your grace, and in the power of your name, you lift me up, cause you're the God that can do all. You lift me up. Come on, every hand lifted. Say, in the fullness. Sing to Jesus, come on, right in your living room, say, you lift me up, you won't let me stay down, you lift me up, one more time, say, in the fullness of your amazing grace, and in the power of your strong name.
You're the God.
You're the God that lifts me up. You won't let me stay down. You're the God that lifts me up. Oh my God. You're the God that lifts me up. Listen.
By the God who lifts me up.
You're the God that lifts me up.
Nothing else.